Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part to our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We love hearing from you, and we certainly would love for you to send an email with a question or a comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. So today we're exploring why does Ash Wednesday attract and resonate with so many people? So the question for today's show is this: what is it about the Ash Wednesday liturgy that draws and impacts so many Catholics and non-Catholics alike? And yes, here we are. It's the Monday before Ash Wednesday. So I hope at least that you've been praying and preparing your heart and mind and body and spirit, your relationship with your spouse, if you have one, with your children, whatever your journey is in this life, that you are preparing yourself for Ash Wednesday. And it's, I love Ash Wednesday.
So do I.
It's one of my favorite celebrations in the church. And I'm going to be taking my staff and my volunteers on a retreat for this Ash Wednesday.
Right.
We leave tomorrow and we'll be gone Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it will be a, I hope and pray, it's my greatest Lent 2025.
And for you as well. And maybe it's a time for some of you that have fallen away from the church or maybe made a decision at some point. You know, it's a beautiful service, ceremony to go to. Make your way back to the Catholic faith. Come to the Ash Wednesday celebration. Maybe you're a non-Catholic. The imposition of ashes. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so, Joy, I mean, so many people are attracted. That's why we said Catholics and non-Catholics. There's something inherent in each one of us that's dealing with, in a sober way, you know, we are all passing away. And there's a yearning inside of us. You know, maybe there is something else. Maybe there's something more. And just that yearning, there must be something more, is telling you that there is. It's a sign, it's a clue that there's something more. So may this Wednesday be for you and for everybody that's watching us today, a time where you return to the church or rededicate yourself more fully to Christ and to the church, and that you deal with your own mortality and you be filled with hope and grace and assurance that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. We want to hear from you. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. So the question for today's show is this: what is it about the Ash Wednesday liturgy that draws and impacts so many Catholics and non-Catholics alike? We would love to hear from you. Give us a jingle, 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling, you are outside North America. You can reach us at 205-271-2980. You know, when we get the imposition of ashes, you know, the priest might say to us or the deacon, remember that you are to dust and to dust you shall return. And that's very humbling and it's sobering and it's meant to be. But also at the same time, you are beloved dust. And as we take this Lenten journey and we come into the beautiful celebration of Holy Week, and we hopefully we are more impacted with the love and the mercy and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, we would know how much he loves us.
Yeah.
And I say this every time in the beginning of Lent, the whole purpose of this Lenten journey is that at the end of this journey, not that you gave up this and you did that and you read this book or you entered into this place or whatever, it's that at the end of the journey, you look more like Jesus and less like Joy. More like Jesus and less like you. And that's the transformation. That's the constant every day of surrender, where we are converted every day. And so I pray that you would let this Lenten journey be all that Jesus wants it to be for you. And it's going to be different from somebody else in your parish, might be your sister, your brother, whoever it is. Ask Jesus now, Lord, what is it that you want from me? How should we do this? What vice do you want to go after? And what do you want to deliver me from?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty. It's a life more of Jesus and less of you. An increase of your virtues and a decrease of your vices. So be this life of holiness until our dying breath.
Yeah. You know, you were mentioning, what do you want from me? And so I just celebrated my 70th birthday not long ago. I was really speaking to the Lord so many years. And, you know, before my 60th birthday, I had a heart attack that almost took my life. God's given me 10 more years.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm saying, Lord, what do you, I know he's doing something in me, this fourth quarter of my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying, Lord, I was driving in the
fourth
car.
Fourth quarter and 20-yard line, and we're playing our best game.
I hope so. But I'm saying, Lord, you know, I'm thinking about all the things in my life, you know, that I've been involved with, and it seems like I've lived a couple of lifetimes. I said, Lord, what do you want from me? Like, what do you want from me now, Lord? What are you doing in me? I know you want to do something in me. And I could hear the Lord immediately. I think it was the Lord. And he said, I want the best of you.
Mm.
I want the best. And then I thought, wow, the best has to do with the sacrificial system. Mm. And when people would offer animals, the Lord would say, I want the first portion and mm-hmm. I want the best.
Right.
And so that might be something you're saying, especially as you're getting older, you might be sick or ill. What do you want for Lent? You know, I could do almsgiving and fasting and so on, but it's like, and he said it so beautifully, he said, I want the best of you. Do you want to give the Lord the best? Say, Lord, help me do that. I want to give the best as I'm moving towards you. You're telling me I'm dust to dust, I will return. And it's inevitable that we're going to pass from this life. And all Jesus is saying, I just want the best of you. I want the first portion of you. And I want the best meat in you. I want the best of you. Maybe that's what you should be asking of the Lord.
Because he wants the best for you, which is that you would look more like Jesus and less like Jim, yeah. as in this journey of holiness. And someone has said, Ash Wednesday is full of joy. The source of all sorrow is the illusion that we are anything but dust. And that's Father Thomas Merton,
yeah.
which is so true. You know, I just want to share this quick story that we got to hear. And if you haven't heard it, I strongly encourage you to listen to it. You can get it on YouTube. It was by Monsignor James Shea. And he shared a story. He was on a plane. And he did a whole teaching at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. He was on a plane for Ash Wednesday, and he had, you know, the imposition of ashes on his head, and the stewardess had come up to him, and she had said to him, Father, you know, I'm going to be flying all day, and I can't get ashes. Is there any chance that you have any ashes on you? And he said, you know, I really do. He goes, I am not a Boy Scout priest, but for whatever reason,
like
I
he's
did,
always ready for
he
everything.
Said, I did have some ashes up in the overhead. So we got up in the overhead and she knelt down and she got on the plane. As the plane is flying in the air, she got the imposition of ashes. Another steward came over, had the imposition of ashes. A co-pilot, he said, and then half the plane. It was a miracle.
People were kneeling down and receiving ashes.
Right. When I say this to you, I say because the world is hungry. Right now, we are in the Jubilee year of hope. People need hope as this time in which we live in 2025. And there are people who are depressed, they're suicidal, they're miserable, they're lost, they're lonely, they're dying. My sister, she had said to someone, just in a kind way of passing, who was suffering, this woman, my sister said, I'm going to be praying for you. And the woman turned to my sister and said, that is so nice. She said, I don't know anybody who's praying for me. Mm. Could you imagine?
I don't know anybody
who's praying for me.
And where so are we to want to push the faith? We don't want to proselytize. baloney.
Right.
You know, share the Lord. Pray for opportunities to share the Lord. There's so many people like that. Nobody's praying for them.
Right.
Nobody's praying for you.
And to be miserable and they're hopeless. And so we as a people, I pray that the church would revive a great spirit of hope to this, first to your own soul's sake, to your marriage, to your family, to your sphere of witness, where you are, in your workplaces, wherever God is using you, in school, so that for those who are looking on will say, something's different about her, something's different about him, and that they would see the light of Christ. Have you ever looked at somebody and there's no lights on? You know, we work at a pregnancy medical center, and I've gone eyeball to eyeball with some clients, and there's no lights on. And it's a God-awful sight.
Yeah.
And I have the ability and the opportunity and the privilege to say, you are not hopeless. This baby is a gift to you, and God is going to work a great miracle in your life, but we got to give him a chance. And so during this Ash Wednesday time, as we're preparing for Lent, keep it on EWTN. There are so many great teachings.
Yeah.
And also go out to the website where Father Joseph has prepared a beautiful Lent
EWTN.com/Lent2025.
And Father Joseph, you're seeing great commercials on EWTN. He's done some beautiful teachings to prepare us. And then I'm sure your parishes might be having Lenten journeys.
Yeah.
Participate. Make yourself available. Go to confession. Participate in the Stations of the Cross on Fridays.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the things that are available to us. Not that it's like, oh, I'm so obligated to do this. Being Catholic is so hard. It's to train us, to make us obedient. You know, during this Lenten journey, the beautiful thing, don't you want to make God's heart happy? You know what makes God's heart happy? Is when we are obedient, when we obey, when we read the word, and then we obey the word of God. And we don't try to make it or alter it to accommodate our sin,
yeah,
or accommodate any more confusion.
Yeah.
God is not the author of confusion, and he wants to straighten things out in our life. And God and God alone is the only one who could write straight on all of our crooked ways.
Mm.
So let him during this Lenten
time. We have
a
comment here. Ash Wednesday is a reminder that everything in this world is temporary. Power, money, fame, is all just chasing after the wind. Ultimately, life will have to leave us to pave way for death to greet us. It will be the time when we're all leveled.
Mm.
To ash we return. What God has given, he can take away. John from Facebook. That's pretty profound and articulate. And I think it's really important as well, like the focus of Lent, you know, with prayer, fasting, almsgiving, you know, all these kind of things that we're doing, trying to be obedient. But really, it's all preparation for the resurrection, that there is a resurrection. Like, this isn't where we want to stay. We don't want to stay in Lent.
Right.
I mean, it's my favorite, you know, season. But death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?
And that was our reading this Sunday, right? Because God is preparing us.
Yeah. And so that's where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the yearning of the heart. Even in the midst of all the devastation you feel, things that are going on, you know, you've lost loved ones, children die before you die. Like, what's going on? There's a yearning. There's got to be something more than this. There's got to be something more than this. And in Jesus Christ, there is more. I am resurrection. I am life. Those who believe in me, you will never die, but you will live forever. Do you believe this?
Mm.
Jesus said, do you believe this? And you could say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Come to the church. Come to the church again. I remember during the season, one time I was speaking to a guy at the YMCA. That's where I really like to go to have conversations about the Lord there as much as I can. And this guy started to share me. I think he really got hurt and wounded in the church. He was kind of putting down the church, but he was a Catholic. And I finally said to him, you know, I said, listen, so you don't think you can go to Mass? You're not going to confession. I said, can you our church doors, oh, could you just go in when there's not a service or a ceremony? Can you just go into the church and sit there? Because you know who's there in the tabernacle, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't say that, but just go in there and say, can you do it? And he goes, I think I can do that. So I said, well, I want to invite you to the cathedral in Birmingham, Alabama. Those doors are open. Just go there and sit. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, just go there. Be in that holy place. Be before the presence of the Lord. You don't have to beg him to come because Jesus Christ is already in the sanctuary. It's just, will you come? Mm. Come to me, all you who travail, you who are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon your neck. Learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm lowly of heart. You will find rest to your soul. Come to the Lord this Ash Wednesday and forever. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, as you know, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has been in the hospital for the past couple of weeks. And so we're going to go to Joan for an update on the Pope's health. Now, Joan, what is the latest on the Pope's health?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. You know what? It really seems impossible, but here we are entering the third week of Pope Francis' stay at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, where he's being treated for double pneumonia and for a very complex polymicrobial infection. Now, we do get news bulletins twice a day about his health. The morning one is always very short, and actually it's been the same, almost the same every day since February 22nd. The Pope spent a calm night and is now resting. Now, the evening bulletins contain more information about his medical condition, about the breathing therapy, about his blood flow dynamics, etc. And one good thing is the word critical has not been used to describe his situation since February 25th. Now, there was a bulletin last night, Sunday, March 2nd, that said, the clinical conditions of the Holy Father remain stable today. The Pope did not require non-invasive mechanical ventilation, but only high-flow oxygen therapy. He's without a fever. In view of the complexity of the clinical picture, the prognosis remains reserved. He participated in Mass. Now, that was in the chapel of his suite on the 10th floor. And I have to say that throughout much of the week, Vatican business has gone on as usual. There was a meeting with senior advisors. There were papal nominations. We saw the publication of decrees related to sainthood. There was the papal message for Lent 2025 and a papal chirograph about establishing a new commission for donations to the Holy See. Now, the Pope's catechesis for the Wednesday audience was published in the bulletin on Wednesday, as was yesterday's Angelus reflections. And he said in part in that, this is lovely, he said, I want to thank you for your prayers, which rise up to the Lord from the hearts of so many faithful from many parts of the world. I feel as if I am carried and supported by all of God's people. Now, the Pope does every night, as he's done for almost a year now, he does speak to the Holy Family Parish in Gaza. So things, in a certain sense, are normal. The one new thing, of course, is the rosary every night at 9 p.m., right behind me in St. Peter's Square, led by a different cardinal of the Roman Curia. The crowds are huge. And there are at least 20, if not more, cardinals every night. So on that note, I close and just ask everybody to let's join our prayers to those praying every night here in Rome for the Pope. So back to you.
Thank you so much, Joan, for that report. And you know, Joy, with all the prayer we've been offering and this prolonged illness, I really said to one of our priests who came to celebrate Mass at our pro-life center, where we have the tabernacle and we have Mass. And he did a special
liturgy
mm-hmm. focused on the Pope and the prayers for the Pope. And when he communicated me and placed the host on my tongue, right before it, I had such a love for the Pope. Mm. And it's a love that I have not had. Not that I didn't have love. This was like tangible. Mm. And so there's really been some, I think God's doing such a mysterious work, not only for him, but for us, because we were like really intentionally, willfully caring for somebody that is in such need, who's our papa. So, you know, open your hearts, pray, and God's doing a mysterious thing with him, with the church, and with those of us to have almost like a tangible love for him that,
right.
That I didn't have to this extent before.
And to be hospitalized just for 3 weeks, I mean, that is a long suffering. So we really got to pray for his strength and for his peace. I mean, that's just not a fun place to be. I'm sure he'd rather be home in his own quarters and where he's being tended to and cared for. So we certainly need to pray and continue your prayers, and maybe even during this Lenten journey where we can do that more and more, make some intentional prayer time for Pope Francis.
And be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have our guest, Donald Critchlow, professor of history and director of the Center for American Institutions at Arizona State University. He's an expert on the history of global population control programs, and he'll be telling us how society got to where it is today. It's sure to be a great show, and remember, you're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and with Joy. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Bye now.